Let's prepare to worship God. This is Epiphany Sunday, the Sunday where we mark the coming of the Magi to see Jesus and to worship him. And it is marked by the church because it is the point at which the good news about Jesus went beyond God's people, went out into the world. And so we celebrate that today, that the good news of Jesus goes into all of the world. So let us celebrate. Let us give thanks to God, and let us worship him. Let us pray together. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Our God, we join with those that are around your throne to proclaim you and to sing your praises, to acknowledge you as God, as Creator and Lord of all, to acknowledge you as Savior in Jesus Christ. Come to us, to live for us, to die for us on the cross, and to rise again from the dead. to acknowledge you as God present in our lives and in this place, even now, by your Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you because you are good. You are righteous and just. You are holy and loving. You are merciful and compassionate. Bless us with your mercy and grace now. We confess that we are sinners. Forgive us in Jesus. Heal us of our brokenness in Jesus. And make us new again, that we should trust you anew, that we should follow you faithfully, and that we should be your people now and always. Our God, bless us during this time, that we might know you, not just know intellectually that you exist or that you are even here, but to know with our mind, our hearts, even our bodies, with our senses, that you are here with us in this place. Bless us to worship you through and through. We pray in Jesus. As we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
Psalm 29, and it's page 791 in your pew Bible. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Bless his word.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. And we pray that you would speak to us through it, that you would open it to our understanding by your Spirit and make it part of us. We ask in Jesus. Amen.
I often say that I don't depend on my faithfulness to God. I depend on his faithfulness to me. And this particular song emphasizes my personal experience with God's faithfulness. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, and my heart had no song, still in love, God was faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercies I see. Though in my heart I had questions, even failed to believe, yet he's been faithful, faithful to me. When my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my God, he was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, even then, God was faithful to me. Every time I turn back to him, he was waiting with open arms, and I'd see once again. He'd been faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercies I see. Though in my heart I had questioned, even failed to believe, yet he's been faithful, faithful, faithful. Oh, in my heart I had questions, even failed to believe, yet he's been faithful, faithful.
Faithful in my heart, I had questioned, even failed to believe. Yet he's been faithful, faithful to me. My God is faithful, so faithful. He's been faithful, faithful to me.
Thank you, Paul. We're reading this morning from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. Let us hear God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Impact. The action of one body coming forcibly into contact with another. Impact. To have a strong effect on someone or something. Impact. And I'm hoping the technology works this time.
Stop it!
The last time I tried to quit smoking,
only two carry-on items!
I got pretty irritable.
I wasn't really myself.
The seatbelt sign is on!
I never want to go through that again. So this time, I'm using Nicoderm to help me quit.
Nicoderm. Our patches help you through the rough patches.
All time. It's a commercial that has real impact. Not that I needed the product. I've never been a smoker, but I've always found that a powerful commercial. It is funny. I remember it. It's about 10 years old now, and it still comes to mind. And I remember what the product is that the commercial's for. There are a lot of clever commercials that are out there, and I will think about the commercial, and I go, what was the product they're trying to sell? And I can't remember. Has that happened to you? And then the next time you see it, you go, oh, right. And then you forget again. But this one stayed. This one has impact. Advertisers want to have impact. Teachers want to have impact. And I can tell you, preachers want to have an impact. Sometimes someone's presence alone can have a huge impact. Let's say here this morning, in this place, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth was sitting. Or Dwayne The Rock Johnson was sitting. And I'm not equating the two or putting them on the same level, but if either one of them was here this morning, it would have an impact. Or if during coffee time, when we're down in Campbell Hall and we see standing around one of the tables, Jean-Gabriel Pageau or Anthony Duclair standing having coffee, that would have an impact, at least for Senators fans, those of us that still exist. Or if God became human, that would have a real impact. Over the last few weeks, we have heard and celebrated the Christmas story that God became human in Jesus. It's an important story as part of Christmas in general, but for followers of Jesus, it's central to our celebrations, even in spite of all of the much-loved family traditions that we have. The pregnant Mary with her husband Joseph went to Bethlehem by order of the Roman emperor. And shortly after they arrived, the baby was born. Jesus was born. Jesus, Mary's son, but also God's son. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God become human. That night, there was a huge impact with the angels announcing to the shepherds the birth of the Messiah. The impact of Jesus' birth and the announcement of his birth moved the shepherds to search for Jesus, and when they found him, to worship him and then to spread the news about him. And our passage today picks up about 2 years later. Mary and Joseph and Jesus are still living in Bethlehem, but now in a house. And during that time, magi, wise men, came looking for the new king of the Jews. They obviously knew the Old Testament and the prophecies that were there. They may have had other information that was circulating at the time. And they saw a star that they believed marked the birth of this new king. And so they journeyed to find the king. The most logical place for them to begin was in the capital city, in Jerusalem, and most logically, at the palace. And there they spoke with Herod, King Herod. Now, Herod was known as Herod the Great. He had a history of cruelty and murder by which he proved his loyalty to the Roman government. And he gained from the Roman government the title King of the Jews. He himself was ruled by Rome. But all people who crave power need titles and positions. And Herod had worked hard to gain his. The Magi arrived and asked about the one who was born king of the Jews. But isn't Herod king of the Jews? The impact of this news was massive on Herod. Herod had killed a number of people who he considered to be a threat to his position, some of them even family members. And now this news that one who is being called the king of the Jews has been born, this is a huge threat to him. If word got out that the Messiah had arrived, he would be out of his cushy job. He would lose his power. So we called the scholars together to find out where the Messiah was to be born. Bethlehem, they answered. Not to be obvious about his motives, but also as people who crave power, Herod wanted to use these powerful people for his purposes. So he sent the Magi on their way, telling them to go to Bethlehem and to search for the child and to come back and let him know where he is so that he could go and also worship him. And the Magi searched and they found Jesus. And Jesus had a huge impact on them. These rich and powerful people from a far-off land came to Jesus and bowed down before him, and they worshiped him. And they presented him with gifts, as dignitaries of another country would do, offered to a king. And after worshiping him, they left, but having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. When Herod learned that he had been duped by the Magi, he became furious and ordered the immediate murder of every boy in Bethlehem and the surrounding area, 2 years old and younger. He didn't care how many people he had to kill to rid himself of this threat. But Joseph also had a dream from God, a warning to get up and to take Jesus and Mary and to go to Egypt. And they escaped in the night. They escaped Herod's murderous rage. What incredible impact God becoming human had. And it wasn't just one impact. There were different reactions to Jesus, and some of them were pretty extreme. The impact of Jesus' birth, of God become human, caused the Magi to set out on a long journey to search for and to find Jesus, and then to bow down and worship him and to offer him gifts fit for a king. The impact of Jesus' birth, of God become human, caused Herod to become greatly disturbed and to strike out in a murderous rage, in an attempt to remove any threat to his way of life. The impact of Jesus' birth, of God become human, caused the people of Jerusalem also to be disturbed. Now, it could be they were disturbed because they knew what Herod would do with this news, but there was probably also a mixed sense of hope and fear that the Messiah might really have arrived. What would that mean to them? They knew the potential for their lives to be turned upside down, and it disturbed them. All of the people mentioned in this story were impacted by Jesus' birth. The same event, the same person, had different impacts on different people. They were either moved to worship him, or they were disturbed by him and moved to reject him. So what impact does Jesus have on you? What impact does he have on me? Now, if you've listened to me at all, and I hope you have, you know that I believe the impact that Jesus should have on us is that we should worship him. In the birth of Jesus, we see God Almighty, the creator of all that exists, the Lord of all, humble himself and become a human, even a human baby. And God did all of this with the express purpose that he should offer himself in sacrifice for us, to forgive us and to save us, to give us life in abundance and life eternal. The birth of Jesus and the truth of Jesus should drive us to our knees in worship and thanksgiving. But it should also move us, as it did the Magi, to give of ourselves to Jesus. We can also give our gold or our today's equivalent. But likewise, we give of ourselves as we offer our time and our hands and our hearts and our lives. What impact does Jesus have on us? It should move us to worship. And it should move us to give of ourselves to him. But the impact of Jesus' birth should also disturb us, not send us into a murderous rage. But God didn't become human so that he could hang out as a baby in a manger. God became human to save us and to transform our lives. Transformation and change are always disturbing because they shake up our status quo. They push us outside of our comfort zone. We cannot know the fullness of life that God intends for us if we remain unchanged. We have two choices in that. We can either stay exactly the same as we are and have always been, and never know what God would give to us. Or we can want what God gives to us and so open ourselves to be changed by him. We can't have it both ways. We can't know the fullness of life God has in store for us and be unchanged by it. God's grace in Jesus doesn't just affect our ultimate outcome. It affects what happens to us here and now in the transformation of our lives. Jesus transforms our lives as we give him access to our hearts. He transforms our attitudes and our priorities and our way of living. God wants to reshape us, that our attitudes be the same as Jesus' attitudes, that our priorities be the same as Jesus' priorities, and that our lives resemble Jesus' life. God doesn't force himself on us, and it doesn't happen magically. We have to be willing participants, allowing God access to our hearts, and be willing to stretch ourselves with those Christ-like attitudes, those Christ-like priorities, those Christ-like ways of living. Even though the birth of Jesus, God become human, should cause us to worship him and to give of ourselves to him, it should also disturb us because it means change as God remakes our lives. The one thing that Jesus coming, that the impact of Jesus coming should not do, is to make us indifferent. If we or anyone is indifferent about Jesus Christ, we are just not paying attention. If we are indifferent about Jesus, we've really missed the whole point. Jesus' impact is upon all of creation, including all of the people of the world, and indifference is just not a reasonable reaction. Be impacted and move to worship. Be impacted and be disturbed and be moved to reject. Indifference means we're just not getting any of it. What is your reaction to the impact of Jesus coming into this world, coming into your life. Through the rest of this service, as we prepare to come to communion, I invite you to consider the impact that you are allowing Jesus to have on your life. But don't stop there. The rest of the day, the rest of this week, continue to allow Jesus to impact you and change your life. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you do for us. We thank you that you became human in Jesus and that you did that because you love us so deeply and because you desire us to be with you always, even to eternity. And your faithfulness to us moved you to do all this, moved you even to sacrifice yourself in Jesus for us. We thank you for that. We thank you for the impact of Jesus on the different people in the story. We thank you for Jesus' impact upon the Magi moved to worship and to offer gifts. We thank you for the impact of the people being disturbed, even Herod being disturbed, though we can't thank you for his actions, we thank you for the recognition that Jesus' coming has different impacts. We thank you for Jesus' impact upon people down through the centuries. And we pray that you would help us to be open to allowing Jesus to impact us today, to transform us, to remake us, reshape us, to reshape our attitudes to be more like his, our priorities to be more like his, our ways of living to be more like his. We pray that you would impact this world with your grace in Jesus and that you would bring transformation, that you would bring your peace, that you would bring your justice, that you would bring your hope to this world. We pray for your impact, the impact of Jesus upon the city of Ottawa, and we pray for transformation of our city, for peace for the city and its inhabitants, for your justice, and for your hope. And we pray for your impact upon St. Paul's, Lord, upon this church, upon each of us as individuals, but also upon us as a church together, that you would continue to transform us, making us to be the church you would have us be, to have the impact you would have us to have upon this community. Our God, all these things we offer to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue to worship God together, to give him praise as we give to him our offerings. Thank you. God, we thank you for all that you give to us. We thank you for provision day by day. We thank you for Jesus. And we bring these gifts now, gifts of our money, our time, our efforts, our skills, all offered to you, that by them you would be honored and through them your work would be accomplished. We offer and pray all this in Jesus. Amen. Can sit. We come to the Lord's table. It is one of the two sacraments of our church, along with baptism, which we marked last week. Holy Communion is the gift that God gives to us to help us not only understand the sacrifice that he made for us in Jesus, but to help us somehow to enter into that in a mysterious way, to recognize that Christ is present with us and that through the common elements of bread and the cup, we know him. And that has an impact. Jesus invites everyone who knows and trusts him as Savior and desires to follow him as Lord to eat and drink together, that in doing so we might grow and we might know him better. So let us prepare. Let us come to the table and know the impact of the Lord. let us remain standing and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Our loving, holy God, we come to your table at your invitation to mark, to remember, to enter into the grace that you have given us in Jesus. That in the fullness of time, at the time of your choosing, you came to this world as a human being in Jesus and lived for us and taught and healed and did things that only God can do. And then you offered yourself in sacrifice on the cross for us in Jesus. And then you raised him from the dead, that death and the grave should have no claim or hold on him ever again. And that you did that for us. You sacrificed yourself for us, for each of us, that we should be forgiven all our sin, and that we should be saved for life in you and with you and to eternity. We thank you for this incredible sacrifice and pray, Lord, that you would bless these elements, this bread and this cup, that in them we should somehow know the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That we should experience your grace over and over again, washing over us and through us. And that we should know you. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus. Amen. the body of Christ. The cup of salvation, the new covenant in Christ's blood. The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus and life in him. We thank you for the sacrament that informs us and builds us up and blesses us. Even as you have blessed us, make us a blessing to each other this day, to all those whom we meet the rest of the day and this week, for your glory in Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, go from here allowing Jesus to have an impact on you and have an impact on those around you. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.